السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أهلا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بالخير يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. أبو عبد الله Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. We are on the issues of what he called al-iftirar ghurur, that a person is upon acts of sinfulness and expecting with rewards, anticipating compassion and mercy with Allah while still upon sins, while still upon iniquities. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he had referred to such a thing as an ajiz. He said alayhi salatu wa salam, wal ajizu, the one who is not appropriate in what you consider. Your thoughts are inappropriate. Who are those? Man atba'a nafsahu hawaha, the one who makes his soul to go just after whatever his desires dictate, just whatever the desires dictate. That is what he does. وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ, yet is anticipating huge rewards from Allah. Someone who just only follows his desires. وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ, in your following your desires, in your being upon telling lies, in your being upon zina, in your being upon akulu riba, consuming riba, and all other prohibitions of the sharia. تَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ, the individual is still hoping that yes, Allah will be nice to me, Allah will be kind to me, Allah will shower his blessings on me. For he said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that الْقَيِّسُ مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. As for those who are intelligent, unlike the other group who are far away from intelligence and reality, al-qayyisu, al-aqil, the one who is sensible, they are those who dana nafsahu, yani hasabaha, the one who will check himself, who will revise his actions, wa'alima lima ba'da al-maut, wa'amila lima ba'da al-maut, and then ensures that his deeds are deeds that will bring him and him good rewards when he passes away. This is the person who is intelligent. As for the one who persists, who remains upon sinfulness, and then he begins to expect good rewards with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he referred to such person, such a person as al-ajiz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. So Ibn al-Qayyim trying to warn this ajiz, this person who is being unintelligent, Akhi, you are committing sins, you're evil, you're upon a shirk, you delay the salah away from its time, You are upon man's zakah. You are due for zakah, but you refuse to pay them. In fact, your parents, your daddy, your mommy, if they say one, you say two in reply. You are not a good child to your parents. You don't maintain them. You abandon them. When you speak to them, you raise your voices against them. Subhanallah. Yet, in all of these indecencies and obscenity, you are expecting that it is blessings upon goodness that you will gain from Allah. This is clearly self-deceit. So Ibn al-Qayyim came, rahimahullah, with about 38 ahadith that when we hear them, it will help us keep away from this bad behavior and bad thinking by the ajis. And bismillah, it will help us to raise towards the good behavior and good thoughts about Allah by the one, the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, referred to as al-qayyis, the one who is sensible and intelligent. May Allah protect all of us from stupidity. In the last class, we read the hadith of three groups of people, three eminent set of people. The one who sought shahada, the one who sought knowledge, and the one who Allah blessed with. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أَعْطَاهُ مِنْ أَصْنَافِ الْمَالِ كُلِّهِ. Allah blessed him with all the forms of wealth. This person is also like to be very healthy, because health too is something that is so valuable. So Allah min asnafil mali kullihi, all, every form of wealth, Allah blessed him with it. But in his spending, in things that are lawful, he's building a masjid, he's giving sadaqah, he's paying zakah, he feeds people, he supports the poor. These are good deeds. But while he was doing it, he was doing it so that people will see him and say, oh, this is a very open-handed person. So anyone who does a good deed upon a bad intention, an intention to seek popularity, an intention to be clapped for. That was his intention. Not that he did the good deed, understanding that it was a command from Allah to him. He was obeying the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his deeds. And he expects good rewards from Allah. This is husnul zanni billah. Yes, it is upon these three things, he is upon ikhlas. Now he may be praised by the people. Now he may become popular amongst the people. Meanwhile, his original intention was not that he was seeking that popularity in itself. It just came. He just became popular over those good deeds. He himself did not seek them originally. What he sought was Allah's pleasure and obeying Allah's dictates. But while obeying Allah, while seeking his pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his face, he also, along with that, the rewards are established for him. He saw that people began to praise him. He began to get popular because of what he was doing. This one is praiseworthy. But that he was doing those good deeds because he actually wanted those praise and encomia. May Allah protect us. That is absolutely unfortunate. After that, we read the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, also by way of warning, so that everyone who is upon something that Allah does not like, ikhwa, please, for the sake of Allah, stop it and turn to repentance. If you know you're upon something Allah does not like, stop it. turn to repentance. Hear what Abu Huraira reported from the Prophet here, alayhi salatu wasalam, that man kanat indahu li akhihi matlamatun fi malin aw irtin. Man kanat indahu li akhihi matlama. Any one of you, any person amongst the people of Islam, indahu li akhihi matlama, who has something he had taken unlawfully from his brother. He was unlawful in what he took. You both did a job, you took the money, you did not give him his own share. Ikhwa, this is good. May Allah protect all of us. If it has ever happened, quickly seek redress. Never let it happen again. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether you unfairly dealt with your brother, imalim, regarding wealth and property, or irdin, or you were insulting his person and honor, you insulted your brother, you were peddling evils about him, you were spreading statements of slander regarding your brother or your sister, abusing him or her, and spreading evil regarding him or her. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, if you are like this, فَلِيَأْتِهِ فَلِيَسْتَحِلَّهَا مِنْهُ, go and meet that brother. فَلِيَسْتَحِلَّهَا مِنْهُ, such a person should seek redress and normalcy with that your brother. How? بِطَلَبِ الْعَفْوِ مِنْهُ, seek him to pardon you. You are the one insulting him all around. Go and seek his pardon. Or that تَرُدُّ إِلَيْهِ الْحَقِّ, you return whatever was his right, return it to him. قَبْلَ أَنْ يُوْخَذَ وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْحَمٌ, before a day when what you have deprived your brother of his own wealth, the wealth that you cheated him, Yahoo boy, you cheated people, you took their wealth and their property, return it to them now. قَبْلَ أَنْ يُوْخَذَ, before what you have dispossessed him of, it will be requested to be taken away from you. وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْهَمٌ, on a day when you will not find naira and kobalt, on a day when you will not find silver or golden coins, return it now. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَاتٍ, because when you don't find naira and kobalt, dollar and pounds that you stole from the people, that will not be found on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, it is good deeds. So when you are asked to pay him what you took away from him and you can't find it, you have good deeds. أُخِذَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, to be taken from those good deeds, you are insulting him, your good deeds will be taken away to pay for your insulting your brother, for your spreading evil about him and slandering him. May Allah protect all of us. So it will be taken from you, your good deeds will be taken from you on the day of Qiyamah. فَأُعْطِيَهَا هَذَا, and it will be given according to the wealth that you usurped from him, or according to the extent that you were insulting him and slandering him. وَإِلَّا, or if you don't have sufficient good deeds, أُخِذَ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ هَذَا, it will be taken from the inequalities and sins that the other man that you were usurping his wealth and slandering, his own evil deeds will be piled up upon you. For turihat alayhi, he will be thrown upon you. Thumma turiha fi nar, may Allah protect all of us. Then such persons will be thrown into Jahannam, into the fire. Why? He usurped the wealth of his brother. He went around slandering his brother and spreading evil about him. what does this has come to teach us here is that there are evil repercussions for sins. Sinful people who use up and deal with people unfairly. They were unjust with people. You employ them, you don't pay their salaries, you use up it. You use up the people's salary, you divert it. People are due for pension. You steal the money to build houses and send your children abroad. And they are due for the pension. Many kinds of monetary scandals like this. Money belonging to workers. Money belonging to parts of the state for progress, for development, for growth, for projects, capital projects, and all others. You alone stole the money. Go and return the money to the public. Of course, through the well-known established means by which the public took their money, go back to it, return it to the coffers of government from where you had stolen it and taken over that wealth unlawfully. If you don't do that, on the day of Qiyamah, your good deeds will be taken away according to the money and wealth that you usurped from people. If you don't have good deeds, don't worry. Equal amount of evil and sin these people were bringing will be placed on you. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, summa turiha fi nar. What will follow that is that the burdens of sin will make the individual be thrown into the fire. May Allah protect all of us. The next hadith, number 33, from the 38 that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, rahimahullah, he said, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ. It also occurs in صحيح البخاري من حديث أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال, from the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who said that the messenger said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, من أخذ شبرا من الأرض بغير حقه, whoever takes any cubit from the wrist to the tip of the middle finger, that small length between the wrist and the tip of the middle finger, that small length, that is the size of the earth, of land, you took from somebody else. A very hacking without right. You did not buy it. You just shifted the pillar by that length, the length of the wrist to the middle finger. You shifted the pillar by that length. خُسِفَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَىٰ سَبْعِ أَرْضِينَ. That part that you have cheated, that small size of earth that you added to your own, you did not buy it, you usurped it, you changed the pillars of the earth when you bought the land by that span of a hand. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the evil repercussion of that your sin is that خُسِفَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَىٰ سَبْعِ أَرْضٍ. It will be the means of your being swallowed by the earth, being dropped deep down into the seven earth. It will be dropped on the earth by that part of the land that you stole and you robbed. Some of the scholars explained that it will be wounded on your neck. It will be pressing you down into the earth, up to the seventh depth of the earth, or the seventh earth. Sab'u ardin. It will be there. خُسِفَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَىٰ سَبْعِ أَرْضٍ. It will be the means by which the individual will be pressed deep down into the earth. This shows that while a person will be unfortunately, like Ibn al-Qayyim said, رَحْمَهُ اللَّهُ, stupidly waiting for goodness after committing sin. This hadith makes us understand that, of course, when you commit a sin, you should expect that your sins have repercussions. The time you should begin to have personal vulnerability is when you make tawbah, because at that time, you are doing things that please Him. You are obeying Him. So you should expect positive and anticipate good rewards. But upon sinfulness, what you should just expect are the evil consequences of your evil actions. Evil consequences of your evil actions. May Allah protect all of us. In another hadith, Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, the 34th hadith, that was his Sahihayn anhu. It also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih al-Muslim. Anhu, yani an Abi Huraira. Also from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Narukum hadhihi allati yuqidu banu Adam. Narukum hadhihi allati yuqidu banu Adam. This is your fire that you, the children of Adam, set up. The fire you set up. The fire you light up. This fire you are establishing. This is your fire. Juz'un wahidun min sab'ina juz'an min dari jahannam. It is just one single portion from 70 portions of the fire of Jahannam. It's our own fire with which we cook, cooking gas. It's our own fire with which we do things. The fire that we see in this dunya, that we set up using firewood of various forms, using gas, using petrol, as dangerous, burning, painful as it is, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, it is juz'un wahidun min sab'ina juz'an min nari jahannam. It is just one single part of out of 70 portions. Divide something to 70. Just one of it is the one you are using in this world. Qalu, the companions radiallahu anhum said, Wallahi, كانت لك فية. Ah, we swear by Allah, this fire. لك فية. That one is enough. Ulama say, لك فية لتعذيب العصاة. It is sufficient for as punishment. Ah, one out of 70. Meaning it is remaining 69 places. Plus this one, 70. To burn people in Jahannam. Innaha, or this thing, la kafiya, it is sufficient as punishment. But ikhwa, look at it again. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wallahi, in kanat la kafiyatan, I swear by Allah, this fire, this information that I have told you, it's sufficient information, is enough. Or that if heat of the fire on this world is enough to dissuade a sinful person from sin. Lakafiyatan. It is enough to discourage anybody from committing sin. If you want to commit sin, remember the fire. The one you used to cook in your house, the burning fire has burned. Ah, remember it. لَكَافِيَةً فِي أَرَدِعِ الْعُصَاتِ. It is sufficient to discourage and put away sinful people from sin, because it is also sufficient punishment. Together with its other 69 parts in the hereafter. So the Prophet answered them and said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّهَا قَدْ فُضِّلَتْ عَلَيْهَا. That your fire with which you cook in this dunya, God food bilat alayha bitis'atin wa sittina juz'a. It has been placed in manifolds, It has been surpassed in manifolds of 69. Your own fire in this world, it is surpassed 69 times. Kullihinna mithlu harriha. Each of them, each of the 69, it's like the hotness of the fire of this dunya. Oh, so fire of this dunya is just one time less than 70 times the heat of the fire of Jahannam. So if you want to know how Jahannam is, place your hand in the burning fire on this earth. May Allah protect us. You see how so burning it is? Add the like of that, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that kulli himna mithlu harriha. Each of them is like its heat, the heat of the fire of this dunya. So the heat of the fire of this dunya, one, the heat of the fire of this dunya, it's like in terms of hotness, again and again and again. I am sure we cannot imagine it. We cannot imagine the heat of the fire of this dunya. And then imagine that one doubles 69 times. Plus, that one making 70. That is the strength of the heat of the fire of Jahannam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar. Ikhwa, say this dua. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who says this dua three times, the fire itself will say, okay, may Allah not bring you to him. So may Allah protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-nar. Wallah, we seek refuge with you. We beg you with your power and mightiness. Out of your mercy on us, protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Don't burn us in Jahannam before you bring us into Al-Jannah. Forgive our sins. Make us the servants that you forgave before we met you. We are Al-Jalal wa Al-Ikram. The companions, when they heard about the Jahannam, they said, Wallahi, incarnat lakafia. This is no other than sufficient as a means to discourage anybody from committing sin. So when you want to tell a lie, remember the fire of Jahannam. When you want to backbite, remember the fire of Jahannam. When you want to slander somebody, remember the fire of Jahannam. When you want to commit zina, remember the fire of Jahannam. As you are consuming riba, remember the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect all of us from this fire. Each time this matter about Jahannam is discussed, it brings a lot of care. And the companion said, radiallahu anhum, incarnate la kafiya. It is sufficient as a thing to make somebody to be afraid. This fear should keep us away from sinfulness. This fear, the fear of the heat and getting into Jahannam. Innaha lakafiyah. It is sufficient to make you fear. May Allah protect us. Protect us from sinfulness. Protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim mentioned another hadith. He said, وَفِي الْمُسْنَدِ عَنْ مُعَاذٍ قَالٍ. It also occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmed, this time, عَنْ مُعَاذٍ, from Mu'adh ibn Jabal. I hope we remember this companion, Abu Abdul Rahman, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu. One of those that the Prophet directly told, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi inni la uhibbuk, I swear by Allah, inni, look at that emphasis, لا إسلام التوكيد أحبك. I swear by Allah, oh man, I really, really love you. I really, really love you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he really, really loved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once. So he said, أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال. And إخوة, it is very common. If you love somebody, you like to tell them things. You like to benefit them. Just like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم once said to Muaz, the same Muaz رضي الله عنه, that من لكي الله لا يشرك به شيئا. I hope we remember this hadith. دخل الجنة. Anybody who meets Allah while not committing shirk, you are not up on shirk, you meet Allah. At the end of the day, Allah will make him enter al-Jannah. دخل الجنه. He will certainly enter al-Jannah. Muaz said, رضي الله عنه, أفلا أبشر الناس, O Messenger of Allah, did I not go on informing the people about this? That من لكي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة. Anyone who meets Allah when he dies, while not having ever committed shirk, no shirk upon you at the time when you passed away, that person will enter al-Jannah. Let me go and tell the people. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't go once. Don't go and tell people that. إني أخاف أن يتكلوا. I fear that when they hear this, they will relax. There's a point of reference I like to bring up here. Because many of us, when we relate with people who really love us for the sake of Allah, we abuse that circumstance. They tell you things, they hear those things in the market. If someone loves you and tells you something, come, do this, do this, do this. By the time you know it, or so thing happened regarding so thing. So thing happened regarding so thing. Things of value. The next thing is Facebook. So person said so thing to me without even caring how that person who has entrusted you with information will feel. Because you want to gather people to see and read you. You go to the Facebook and you announce the people and what they told you in confidence. The sunnah of loving someone from the advantage of it is that you entrust them with things of value to yourself. Not only that, you also entrust them with things of value to themselves. Give them sincere advice. Today you go and find it. Someone is advised. He doesn't even care what the other person feels about him spreading what he was told in confidence. May Allah protect us. Please be careful about this. If someone loves you and entrusts something with you, don't go about spreading what he has or she has entrusted with you. May Allah protect all of us. Be careful about things you are told. Nobody told you. The person didn't tell you. Oh, you can tell somebody else. Some people also think that from their closeness to people is that they can behave as they like to those people. It's just an opportunity. If you are close to somebody, you have to be careful. You have to watch your dealings. Otherwise, shaitan will come in between you. Allah warned us, all of us in the Quran, وَقُلِّ عِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. Say to my servants, be careful what you say amongst yourselves. Inna shaytana yanzaghu baynakum. Inna shaytana kana lil insani aduwa mubina. Because inna shaytana yanzaghu baynahum. Shaytan will come. What you said, he will give his interpretations. Shaytan goes in between. Did I tell you to divulge what I told you in confidence? So be careful in your dealings with people you are close to. Maybe the wife regarding her husband. Maybe the son regarding his father. The daughter regarding his father. maybe two close friends who have just loved themselves for the sake of Allah. Wallahi, maybe the teacher regarding the student. Be careful, the ustaz regarding the student, what they tell you. Just don't go, start divulging. May Allah protect all of us. Yeah, look at this matter. Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, afala ubashirun, say, no, don't tell the people. Meaning that sometimes people who tell you things in confidence may not want you to convey what they have told you in confidence to other people for other pressing reasons they may have. Respect what they want. Respect it. May Allah protect all of us. From the advices the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Mu'adh, of course now the people will benefit from it. They said, Awsani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me some personal advice. Maybe I can share that personal advice, but it has to do with the deen. For issues of people's personality and all of these, one husband did so thing, my wife, my daughter, my this, that, people share and entrust with people. Be careful how you divulge people's private personal matters so that you don't spoil it. They will just keep quiet and look away. So later you start wondering why they are cold towards you. You have yourself to blame. You have not behaved as a friend. You have not behaved as a husband or wife. You have not behaved as a son. You have not behaved as a student. So Mu'adh here, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave him some advice. In some reports, those advices are up to him. But here, in this report in Musnad Imam Ahmad, there are just about four or five. Let us look at them one after the other. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Mu'adh, and of course the rest of us, لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قتلت وحرقت. Do not ever join partners with Allah. إخوة شرك. Don't commit shirk. In fact, when I read this hadith before we started the class, I think we should explain shirk to people. What does shirk mean? And things that people do that constitute shirk, so that everybody knows it and avoids it. From the aspects of araftu sharra, la li sharri, lakin li tawqi, knowing evil. Not because I want to commit evil, but so that I can avoid it. So I understand shirk. Ikhwa, let us learn about shirk. La tushrik billahi shay'a. Don't ever join partners with Allah. Join anything in partnership with Allah. Don't ever do it. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa in kutilta, even if you would be killed, wa hurrikta, and burned, don't commit shirk. Avoid it. The ulama say this is martabatul kamal. This is the biggest level. Otherwise, if a person is to be killed and executed, and all that he has to do is to say, express with his tongue alone, a statement of kufur to get his freedom, it is lawful for him to say that statement. Just like Allah told us in Surah An-Nahl, that man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. So if a person was threatened, ukriha, he was threatened, he was harassed, and the threat is real. If you don't say Jesus is Lord, if you don't say this will kill you, and it is real that he will be killed, he can make that statement, وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. The companion, Ammar ibn Yasir, that something like that happened to. When he made the statement of kufur, the Prophet asked him, alayhi salatu salam, Aifa tajidu qalbak? How was your mind that time when you made that statement? And he said, radiyallahu anhu, that mind was mutma'innum bil iman. It was calm upon iman. Even though the mouth spoke a statement of kufur to get to be freed. However, the best of it is that even if you take my life because of iman, I will not stop it. This one makes me remember the condition of someone who was under severe difficulty and hardship from somebody. And she was in all of that. It was something she could not, a hardship she could not remove from herself immediately. And she was saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah. Ikhwa Muhammadun Rasulullah. It was a situation that threatened the iman of that person, the woman. And she was saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Whatever the case is, La ilaha. She continued to repeat this kalimatu shahada, this kalimatu ikhlas. So ensure that you don't get into shirk or ikhwa. May Allah protect all of us. Even if kutilta wa hurrikta, even if you may be killed or burned, do avoid shirk. The second advice, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wala ta'uqadna walidek. La ta'uqadna. Don't ever disobey your parents. Don't ever annoy your parents. وَإِنْ أَمَرَوْكَ أَنْ تَخُرُجَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ وَمَالِكَ وَإِنْ أَمَرَوْكَ. Even if the two of them command you, أَنْ تَخُرُجَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ وَمَالِكَ, to exit your family, that is, they command you to exit your marriage, they command you to divorce your wife, or they command you to seek separation from your husband. Even if they do that, they command you, do this. La ta'uqanna. Don't disobey your parents. The ulama say, the parents you will obey when they say divorce your wife. They are those parents whose considerations about matters are all about deen. Like Omar was to Abdullah ibn Omar. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was to his son Ismail. All their considerations are considerations of deen. So if you are married, your father says, divorce this boy or divorce this man, and your father is a person like Ibrahim alayhi salam or Omar radiallahu anhu, who would not do something and say something except upon the considerations of deen, yes, follow them in that. But if the parents are parents who are not upon deen, whose considerations regarding the matter are not upon deen, then do not follow them. This is where Allah said, wa in jahadaka ala an tushrika bi, if parents exert efforts upon you that you should disobey Allah, ma laysa laka bihi ilm, something you clearly, you can't even understand. Allah to try, don't follow them. This is a matter of shirk. This is a matter of sinfulness. Ulama say shirk was mentioned, but it is not mentioned as alone. The worst case scenario was mentioned. It does not mean that if your parents say you should commit zina, then you should follow them in it. May Allah protect all of us. It does not mean if your parents say you should tell a lie, then you should follow them in it. No. If they commit you, they command you upon sin, don't follow them. So the Prophet advised Mu'adh ibn Jabal, La ta'uqanna walidayk. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, don't ever disobey or annoy your parents وإن أمرك أن تخرج من أهلك ومالك, even if they command you to separate from your family and your wealth. You have a big card. So go on, bring that card to me. Obey them, give them. The third advice, إخوة, ولا تتركن صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا. لا تتركن صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا. You, متعمدا, knowingly. لا تتركن, don't ever abandon صلاة مكتوبة, a compulsory صلاة knowingly. صلاة الظهر. The time reached at 12:45 or 1 o'clock. He called the Adhan for Salat. You heard, you knew, you did not stand up for Salat. You were there until Salat al-Asr, the Adhan was called. Don't ever let this to happen to you in your life. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ مَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاةً مَكْتُوبَةً مُتَعَمِّدًا. Because anyone who abandons an obligatory salah deliberately, you knowingly did it. You knew that you are just feeling that you are lazy. You did it knowingly. فَقَدْ بَرِئَتْ مِنْهُ ذِمَّةُ اللَّهِ. Allah's guarantee upon you, you have removed it from your head. Allah's guarantee is removed from your head. Allah's attention and protection for you is gone. So whatever happens to you, face it. Anything can happen to you. Of course, when the zimma, Allah's ri'aya for you, Allah's domain for you, goes away, anything can happen to you at that time. The shayateen can take over you at that time. That's why one of the first things that leads to depression is abandoning salah. You will get depressed in a very short time. Because zimmatullah will go off you. Allah's guarantee and protection over you will go. So shayateen can take over you anytime. The first advice the Prophet gave Muaz, alayhi salatu wasalam, was, لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قتلت وحركت. The second advice, لا تعوقن والديك. Don't disobey your parents. The third advice, لا تتركن صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا. Don't deliberately abandon a compulsory salat. The fourth advice, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, ولا تشربن خمرا. Don't ever drink alcohol. فإنه رأس كل فاحشة. Because drinking alcohol is the worst thing you can do from other indecent things, fahisha, indecent practices. When you drink alcohol, it is the head of all indecencies. When you drink alcohol, you can tell a lie. When you drink alcohol, you can commit zina. When you drink alcohol, you cannot observe salat. In fact, when you drink alcohol, you can commit shirk. Rasu kulli fahisha. Ikhwa, don't ever try it. Don't say you want to try it once. Abstain from alcohol. Now, this is not just about the alcohol that people consume. It has to do with drugs. Every drug that takes away your mind, kullu muskirin haram. Everything that intoxicates is haram. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tashrabanna khamra, any one of it. So this one includes drugs, Indian hemp, cocaine, and all other things people take, Allahu alam, rubber. We even had people go to sniff, to have gutter, smelling gutter in their nose. It has become khamru too amongst people today. Shamelessness took them to that. May Allah protect all of us. La tashrabanna khamra fa innahu ra'su kulli fahisha. Do not ever take alcohol, because taking alcohol will lead you to over so many other things. That was the fourth advice. The fifth advice is general, like capping all other things that he had said. He said, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ. I warn you, beware of sins. Beware of sinfulness. Yes, don't drink alcohol. Those ones came as emphasis. Don't commit shirk. Don't disobey and bring worry and anger to your parents. Don't abandon salah. Don't drink alcohol. There are other sins too. وَإِيَّاكَ وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ. Muaz, make sure you don't go upon sinfulness. Ikhwa, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ. Everybody should be careful. Keep away from sinfulness. Ikhwa, keep away from sinfulness. فَإِنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ تُشِلُّ سَخَطَ اللَّهِ. Because sinfulness attracts. It makes law come to you. What is that? Allah's anger. Allah's anger. You withdraw it when you become sinful. You withdraw Allah's anger. Just think about that. Like we said regarding Jahannam. The companion said, "In kanat lakafia." That one is sufficient to put away anybody from committing sins, if he remembers the fire of Jahannam. The same thing if you remember that in this dunya, even before Akhirah, when the fire will burn you because of sinfulness. The Prophet said, فَإِنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ تُحِلُّ سَخَطَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. That sinfulness will end you, will make you be liable for the anger of Allah subhanahu. Allah will be angry with you. Who is it that is sensible that will be committing sins and now thinking that Allah will show a blessing on him? No. Al-ma'asiyatu tuhillu sakhat Allah. Al-ma'asiyah opens Allah's anger against anybody. So it is unfortunate that a person will be committing sins and thinking that, oh, Allah will show a mercy. Alon sha'anwa. My friend, if you want that anu, that mercy, that compassion, that favor and kindness from Allah, it is when you drop the sin, not when you are upon it. Except you want to deceive yourself. Al-Qayyim said, "Wal ahadithu fi hadha al-babi ad'afu ad'afi ma dhakarna." The ahadith regarding warning like this, serious warnings about committing sins and the evil repercussions of sins. Al-Ahadith fi hadha al-bab. These reports about these kinds of matters, they are ad'afu ad'afi ma dhakarna. They are in multiples and manifolds of what we have mentioned. They are in the multiples of what we have mentioned. We have only mentioned a few. Those few were about 30-something that he mentioned. We have just mentioned a few. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ نَصَحَ نَفْسَهُ أَنْ يَتَعَامَ عَنْهَا. So it is not appropriate. لِمَنْ نَصَحَ نَفْسَهُ. For anyone who sincerely wants goodness for himself. أَنْ يَتَعَامَ عَنْهَا. To behave as if those things do not occur. Those things are no. To close his eyes to those ahadi. No, don't do it. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-ma'asiyatu tuhillu sakhatillah, aw sakhatallah. Ma'asiyah, sinfulness, invites Allah's anger. And you are continuing upon al-ma'asiyah. Something that when you do, you invite the anger of Allah against yourself. And you are doing it, thinking that you anticipate goodness from Allah. It means you are not being sincere with yourself. It is not appropriate for anyone who truly, sincerely loves himself and yet ama and her to close his eyes away from these ahadith. And then he exposes himself freely into sinfulness. Go on sinning. Are you sure you know what you are doing? Are you sure you are sincere? You love yourself? If you love yourself, you not go on. Tursil nafsaka fil ma'asi. Relaxing and releasing yourself upon sinfulness and sins. وَيَتَعَلَّقُ بِحَبْلِ الرَّجَاءِ وَحُفْسِنِ الظَّنِ. And then you are saying that, oh, I'm expecting and anticipating goodness from Allah. Oh, my thoughts about Allah are good. وَتُرْسِلْ نَفْسَكَ فِي الْمَعْصِ. And here you are, free upon sinfulness. If you are like that, you don't seem to like yourself. If you like yourself, you abstain from sin. فَإِنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ تُحِلُّ سَقَطَ اللَّهِ. Because sinfulness will bring Allah's anger towards you. May Allah protect and forgive all of us, ikhwah. Aba Abdurrahman. We have a few questions, we can also call it in. Do we have?
We have. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. I ask Allah to preserve you upon all that brings goodness to the affairs of Mons Dunia and the Akhirah.
Amen, amen. Well, yeah.
I want to ask about the case of a worker that gets on the staff bus immediately at the time of Salah or before the time of Salah. As joining the staff bus eases the cost of transportation on it. But the time of Salah will have passed by about an hour when he arrived. Should one consider finding other alternatives or can observe the Salah when he arrives from the bus?
The first option is the best option for you. Look for another option that will not be taking away Salat from you. This Salat is very important to your dunya, is very important to your akhirah. Even the job you are doing, if the Salat is disturbed, look for a means of getting another job. So look for another means of going to office that will not be affecting the time when you observe Salat. Look for another means of getting to the office that will not be affecting the time when you observe Salat. Delay Salat. Delaying Salat itself is not law. Except to have Salat to Isha. And that is observing it, of course, within its time. The last period of Salat al-Isha is Muntafafil Layl. When the night is half of the night, that is the last time Salat al-Isha. Between half of the night up to when the stars emerge from the sky after Ghurub al-Shams. From Ghurub al-Shams, when the sun descends the horizon, up to when the stars actually emerge in the sky, that is the time for Salat al-Maghrib. When the darkness completely covers up to on top of the lake, that is the time for Salat al-Isha. Of course, when there is darkness, the stars and other things would appear in the sky. As for Salat al-Fajr, it is from the emergence of Fajr up onto proper Isfar. Isfar is brightness. Before the sun emerges, before Tulu Shams, make sure you properly would have observed your Salat al-Fajr. So if going to the walk makes you lose the time for Salah up to 1 hour, then that is not appropriate. So if you're observing Salat al-Fajr at 9 a.m. in the morning, you're observing Salat al-Fajr at 8 a.m. in the morning, if you're observing Salat al-Fajr even at 7 a.m. in the morning, this is not appropriate. It's not appropriate at all. There is no time when Salat al-Fajr will be 7 a.m. So don't do this. Look for an alternative, especially if you can get an alternative. So the second alternative you have is pray in that vehicle. Even though the best is that you stop the vehicle to pray. But instead of losing the time of Salah, make wudu as you go. Make Salah. Make Salah in the vehicle. Make your Salah in the vehicle. Within the time for that Salah, not 1 week, not 1 hour after. As for observing it after, when you get to destination, that is not law. Don't continue upon this life of losing Salah at this time. It is a very, very destructive sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned Mu'az, said, La tatrukanna salatan maktubatan mutamida. You know that you will miss that Salah. Don't miss Salah knowingly. Allah pardon you, bring ease for you, provide you a better and easier way of getting to work without losing the time of Salah. I hope that is clear, brother. The question here about delaying Salatul Zuhur. Salatul Zuhur is from when the sun gets away from the horizon or onto the time, the beginning time for Salatul Asr, when the image turns equal the size of the object. Of course, when you remove what the scholars call Fayyus Zawal. So in between this time is Salatul Zuhur. Now, this time for Salatul Zuhur, sometimes the sun is still very hot at that early time. The sun just departed the horizon. Yes, it is time for Zuhur, but the sun is still very high. So the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to allow that time to be relaxed. Don't forget that the time is a range of time. So you are still within the time of Zuhur. You have not gotten out of the time of Zuhur. That delay in that hadith you are talking about is still within the time of Zuhur, away from the time of intense heat. During the last Hajj, there were similar incidences when heat was clear. Myself and a brother, we prayed somewhere on the road. The sun, that place can bleed your, it can peel your skin. It can peel the skin. So we had to place, like Anas said, radiallahu anhu, we placed something on the ground, like clothes or something on which we were prostrating our forehead because of intense heat. So when it is so intense like that, you can allow it to be relaxed a bit. The next 15, 20, 30 minutes, you are still within the time of Salah. You are still within the range of the time of Salah. So that hadith does not say delay Zuhur up to the time of Asr. No, it does not say so. I hope that is clear.
No, yeah,
how about tourism? Areas where there is insecurity, such as kidnapping. I have stopped doing for Salatul Suri at the mosque because it's a 10-minute walk from my house. And I'm not an Indian. Well, it depends on the community. That will be about how. It is an excuse. but it has to be really established. Sometimes people just think like that. And it is not as if once they go out, they'll be kidnapped or something. Allahu A'lam. You know your community better. If it is really true that the community is like that, then pray at home. If it is really true that it's like that, then you can pray at home. It is like saying that there is a lion outside the house. Then you can pray at home. Allahu A'lam. Is that clear to our book?
Naam, Ya Shaykh. That's what I already said.
Equally to be able to do
that. No, I'm not sure.
It appears that it is an answer. The brother, after the speech, while he's telling more of my work, that is the last person he said. Sincerely, before listening to these Tuesday lectures, I used to fight my soul very well, either to listen to it or not. Because I know if I heard something I committed myself, there will be a punishment for it. But if I don't listen to it, I won't be judged on that sin because I don't know that it's a sin. And the sin I listen to, I'm not chanced yet to run away from it. What should I do about this? May Allah continue to bless you. Goodness. Ameen, and you too. Shaitan wants to win you finally for suggesting this evil to you. It's an evil not to be listening. If you commit a sin, don't let it make you not listen to talks about that sin or about any other sin. Because if you stop listening, you'll be committing sin. That you don't know that it is sin does not mean that it's not a sin. Do you understand? That you don't know that it's a sin and you are committing it, it does not mean it is not a sin, and it does not mean that it does not count against you. Why? You have an opportunity to know. Those that commit a sin and the sin does not count against them are those who commit that sin. They didn't know that it's a sin, and they don't have a way of knowing that it is a sin. There is no way they can know. But if you have a way of knowing sins and avoiding it, or you deliberately keep away from the means of knowing sins, then that itself is sinful. So you can imagine, avoiding the class itself, for you now, it will be a sinful thing. Why? You are avoiding the means to know when you have the means to know that Allah does not like so thing. Allah has prohibited so thing. You have a means of knowing. Satan is deceiving you to make you think that you should not know. If you don't know in this kind of a case, you are not exempted because of ignorance. That ignorance is not an ignorance that brings exemption. It's a blameworthy ignorance that deserves punishment by itself. So I advise you to join the class and listen. As you listen, prove your shortcomings. Be begging Allah to make it easy for you. Be begging Allah to make it easy for you. Be begging Allah to make it easy for you. And be getting gradually more determined to abandon the sin. Because my dear brother, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahua. Look at what the Prophet said to us today, alayhi salatu wasalam. Said, Iyaka wal ma'asiyah. Beware of sins. It's fa'inna al ma'asiyah ta tuhillu sakhat Allah. Because sinfulness will bring Allah's anger to you. So, should you not learn and follow a means by which Allah will help you to drop the sin? So, if you avoid the class, it means shaitan has finished you. May Allah protect you from the shackles of shaitan. Don't allow shaitan to tie you down. Listen to the sermon. There are some other people too. They listen, they commit one sin, they quickly go back, make tawbah. They commit sin, they quickly make tawbah again. That is in the status of many of the people you will find. You commit one sin, you make tawbah. You commit one sin, you make tawbah. But that you want to continue upon sin, so let me not listen to something that will make me want to leave sin. In fact, something that will point out sin to me, let me avoid it. It is from the traps of Shaitan against you. Watch it and run away from it. May Allah protect you, forgive you, grant you ease upon At-Tawbah, and make you and all of us from the people of sound Iman. Forgive all of us too. Forgive all of us too, Ya Zal Jalal. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alim. صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على وعلى إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سبحانك اللهم أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت السلام عليكم.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alaykum.